This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
I do think the downside of it is, though, that some of these athletes are making so much money that when sports stops, it's going to be really hard when you're like, wait, I've been getting, I'm just making this up, $500,000 paycheck every year, and now I'm making $75,000 as a startup employee. It's going to create some like, why am I working this hard just to get this?
Welcome back to the Color Money Podcast. Today I have, we're going to go in a little bit different direction today. We're going to talk a little bit about music and a little bit about the NIL, name, image, and likeness, and how that's changing wealth and creating wealth for a lot of young athletes. Now, my guest today is Nick Shuley. Now, Nick is the president of the Austin Music Movement, which focuses on the Keystones with Gary Keller, on the efforts to stabilize, protect, sustain, and grow the music capital of the world, which is Austin, Texas. Now, in addition to Nick's music efforts, he recently founded the Clark Field Collective, the main name, image, and likeness entity for the University of Texas at Austin Athletes, as well as facilitated the formation of the Texas One Fund, the name, image, and likeness nonprofit for the University of Texas at Austin as well. He's the founder of the Third and Longhorn podcast. My man has a very, very big, diverse background. I'm glad to have you on with me today, Nick.
Man, I appreciate you having me. Thanks so much. I need to focus on one thing, like the Gary Keller, what Gary says, you know, right?
No, definitely. So I know we're going to talk about some name, image, and likeness, but I know a lot of your passion in knowing you for, what I mean, about a year ago, year and a half ago, something like that?
Yeah, I think it was last year. Yeah.
A lot of the big passion that you have is in this music and arts kind of feel of Austin. Tell us a little bit about how that became what you do in partnership with Gary before we jump into some of this NIL stuff.
Yeah, I mean, my background's heavy, and I mean, I was always marketing, but I worked in sports and music. I was fortunate enough to get hired by Lance Armstrong's management company, which at the time, they had not only Lance, but they had the Austin City Limits Fest, Lollapalooza. I actually got hired on for the music side of what I'd kind of grown up doing, because I grew up in Austin and have always been kind of working in the music scene when I kind of worked my way through college, et cetera. And I got fortunate enough to land at CSE, which eventually became C3 Presents, and now got bought by Live Nation, one of the biggest concert booking companies in the entire world, and they do amazing work. And so, yeah, man, I was always in love with music, and that kind of gave me the chance to work in this. And once Lance retired forever, I kind of moved on and started my own thing. And it was at that point where I met Gary Keller from Keller Williams, as you mentioned, and he kind of pitched me this idea of, he's like, look, there's so much happening in Austin musically, and there's so much good stuff going on, but we need to figure out how to keep the music here as the city grows and the growth happens here. And so that kind of became this effort that we started together, which involves raising funds for the music-related nonprofits, which provide healthcare, mental health and addiction services, ability to pay artists, and education. So there's some amazing things that that does. And then we kind of help formulate a civic effort to get access to some of the taxes so that some of these music venues and places don't get pushed out. Because obviously, if we look at what happened in San Francisco in the 60s and 70s was like the creative hotbed of America.
Yeah.
Everybody moves there. All the tech moves there. And what happens is the cost of living and the cost of owning buildings, et cetera, you know, skyrockets, and you push out a lot of what you loved and the reason you came there. And so we're kind of created an effort to try to ensure that that doesn't happen in Austin. And that's the Austin Music Movement. And it's a mix of nonprofit, civic, and, you know, and just basic fundraising efforts to try to keep it here and just, you know, working with people and try to help them.
That's a big pillar of wealth building, is that give back. It's that 501c3. How are we going to put our money to use to really preserve the things that used to be, or put money in funds to help the future, or the musicians of the future, right?
It's a tale as old as time. Like, everybody moves to these places because they're so great, but then it's in such high demand and everybody wants to be there that the people we love and the reasons we came there can't afford to be there. And so it's, you know, it takes a concerted effort, and there's so many examples in the history of the world, and it's going to continue to happen. But I think if you don't make a concerted effort, it's just going to take care of itself. Yeah. And not in the way you want. And you're going to wake up one day and say, what happened to the soul of this city? Like, what happened to all these things we love? And now we've got all these businesses and all these people. It's great, but what do we do now? Where do I go find my artistic outlets or the things I love?
Those are definitely two things I love about Austin is the barbecue and the live music. Like I didn't know much of that. We go to Mega Camp every year to Austin, and prior to going there, I heard of South by Southwest, but didn't really understand how much of that culture in that city is built around music and how long it's been the music capital of the world. It's pretty wild.
South by is kind of responsible, and not in a bad way, of a lot of the growth, because mm-hmm. the whole music industry would come here for 1 week when it was just a music conference. Then it became music, tech, film, and everybody come in and they're like, the city's awesome. The weather's great. Everybody's super cool. Everybody's accepting. Everybody's friendly. And it's affordable. They're like, why are we not in Austin? And so, but you know, the funny thing is they're like, there's music everywhere at all times, but that's really 1 week a year. There's music everywhere. But there's obviously tons of concerts every day, but South by is a very different animal because it is, you can't even go to a gas station without seeing a band playing during South by.
That's so wild. That's on the bucket list. I definitely want to go do that. And it's such a cool week because now comedians are there now too that week, and tech is there. Like it's grown significantly, huh?
Yeah, our comedy scene exploded. The folks at the Paramount Theater here started the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, and it's turned into one of the biggest comedy festivals in the world. And that's kind of what led to a lot of the, you know, Joe Rogan, Tom Segura, like all these people moved to Austin because same thing. It was like they came here and they're like, this is awesome. People are cool and the place is affordable. So let's ride.
No, for sure. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit. So the reason I wanted to have you on, we talked about, you know, establishing the NIL, the name, image, and likeness program for the University of Texas here a few years ago. And it's a fascinating thing that we're in today because we're literally giving these athletes thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions in some situation. And I think it's helping accelerate the potential of wealth building before they become professional athletes. If you think about college sports as an amateur sport, it's the highest paying amateur sport that's out there. What have you seen in growing that? And what are the effects, the pros and cons that you've seen with athletes and how they start thinking about wealth or building wealth in that perspective?
You have to kind of start at the beginning of that because the landscape was such that college sports have long been just a enormous industry, right? Like there's so much money getting passed through in college sports, and there always has been, but it was always set up where the athletes weren't a part of that. They weren't participating because the argument was they're getting room and board and they're getting, you know, an education and whatever.
And that should be enough for you. You should be happy.
Right. Yeah. It's like, hey, thanks for bringing in $20 million this year, but you know, we're going to go build some more buildings or things like that. And so it's been something where it was always set up that way. And people just assumed it was going to be that way forever, even though there was so much rumbling. And you know, thank goodness Ed O'Bannon stepped up and raised these issues because it's not right, man. We know it's not right. And just the whole setup, they took this thing to the Supreme Court and it was voted unanimously that this was illegal. And like just the fact that it was like that. So, but all that to be said, the whole landscape was so weird. And especially at the beginning of this, because no one planned on this. And then all of a sudden somebody was like, just throw the floodgate open, let's go. You know, and so there was no rules, no guardrails. You had state laws that differed from NCAA rules. You had all of these things. And so there was no way to put the guardrails in place. And, you know, the correct answer for this is that the writing should have been on the wall for a long time that this would happen and there should have been a plan. And because of that, I think we had chaos is the wrong word. It wasn't chaos. It was a little bit of control chaos, a little bit of police chaos. Mm-hmm. But it was such a just figure it out as you go. And when we started, I'll answer your question eventually, but I got into it because I used to live with a couple of the basketball players at Texas when I went to school. And they were some of my best friends. And I remember we'd go out to dinner and they didn't have any money. And it's just like, of course, I'm just like, yeah, dude, I got dinner. Like I wasn't killing it either, but it's like compared to them, I was making, and these dudes are, you know, playing in arenas for 16,000 people or playing in stadiums for 105,000 people. And they can't afford to buy, you know, the burger at Wendy's where we're at, you know? And so it's just like, but I got into it because I'd worked with Lance for so long and I knew those guys. And there was a kid at Texas named Andrew Jones who has this amazing story. He had leukemia, survived, came back, became the leading scorer on Texas. And my buddies reached out and were like, dude, can you help this kid? Like this whole NIL is a thing now and he can make money, but we think he should start to do speaking circuits because his story's so good. And they're like, you help Lance with that. Can you help him? So I go have burgers with this kid amazing kid. Andrew's so such a special human. And he was like, I want to figure out how, you know, look, I don't think I'm going to get rich, but I want to make sure that at least half of everything I earn goes to cancer research. He's like, because that's the reason I'm here. And I was like, dude, I will help you with whatever. I don't want a dollar from you. And his response was, well, I don't know how the rules work. Can you go talk to compliance? Which, if you know what compliance is, like back in the day, like compliance were like the sheriffs, you know, like, yeah, of like, sure, hey, you didn't pay for this burger, or, you know, this kind of stuff. And so I was like, sure, dude, I'll go meet with them, you know. And so, you know, go meet with them. They're like, oh, you can't do it for free. You have to make money. I was like, well, could I sign a dollar contract? And they're like, yeah, I guess that's legal. And then, and I'll never forget it, because I was like asking all these questions, because I was like, huh. And I was like, are kids here just making so much money? And they were like, well, you know, there's some stuff going on. This is like October of the year it launched. So I think it's 21, maybe 22.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 21. Sorry, it's been a while. And I was like, oh, is everybody just getting rich? And they're like, oh, there's some stuff going on. And I was like, at Texas? Like, that's the response. I mean, Texas is like, I think it's the second biggest university in the U.S. Like, there's like 60,000 kids at that school, something like that. And I was like, that's so strange. Like, how has this not been figured out? And then I went and talked to Andrew again, and he brought his roommate, Jace, out to an event we were at. And I was like, man, are you guys finally starting to get some cash in? And they're like, dude, I can't even afford to take my girl to dinner. Like, what? Like, no, like, it's not happening. And then, and I kind of remembered back, like, there was always the powerful members of the community were at the basketball game, right? And I just remember we got to know so many of like business leaders just by hanging out at the games and, you know, me being friends with the players. And I was like, I bet I could call a few of them and, you know, figure out how to raise some funds to where these guys could get just like just 10 grand for the whole year, $5,000 right, a semester, nothing crazy, just something to live on. And so I asked them, I was like, if we did this, would that help you? And Jace was like, dude, that would change my life, you know? And I was like, oh, okay. So I made a couple calls. This is how awesome Texas is. Within like, you know, 2 hours, I had 140 grand raised. And then I was like, oh, crud. Well, now I got to figure out how to do this legally. So I started, you know, interviewing websites, like, you know, figuring out how the right way to transact and like do it legally. And I was like super close with compliance because I was like, I just want to make sure it's all legal and everything we do is right. So we did that, like did an event that was completely by the books, paid everybody. And I was like, cool, I did my part, I'm done. You know, I helped the basketball guys and I'm good. And I was going to help Andrew with this stuff. And of course, after that, like everybody started ringing on my phone, like, are you going to help football now, son? You know, and I was like, well, dude, I have a job, you know? And so that eventually, you know, obviously taking Gary's advice, Gary was like, well, you kind of got the tiger by the tail here, so you should probably figure this out. So, and he's like, and he, God bless Gary, because I was the same way. He's like, you have a responsibility. You figured out a way to help these kids and help, like, you know, create a process. And so we did that. But all that to say, you know, I'm sitting there trying to figure out if I should adhere to the state law or the NCAA. And yeah, that's kind of an easy decision because the state can put you in jail. The NCAA can say, hey, please don't do that, you know? So all that to be said, that the process was so erratic that there was no chance to build it like we want. And you're literally, you're building the plane while you're flying it.
Yeah.
Like we were like, well, we should be doing this. Oh, crud. Well, now we got to go do that. And just trying to kick it around and figure it out. And at the time, I couldn't even talk to the schools. Like the only person I could talk to was compliance because it was illegal for the collectives to talk to the schools, which, you know, when you're trying to figure out how to like help and do something right, it makes it really, really hard. But yeah, it's just when those structures aren't in place and then you just have a flood of money coming in and it's nobody's fault minus maybe the NCAA, like it's irresponsible to just throw that kind of money at people and not teach people about quarterly taxes and all of the things that come with that. So it was a tough setup to begin with. And I still think it's not been figured out, obviously. So that does that, that kind of answers your question, I think.
Yeah.
But, sorry, no, that was a long answer.
No, it was. But my thought with thinking about this NIL play and a lot of things that you've done from early on have been very philanthropic, right? That you just really want to help people, want to help the community. I think there's a correlation to NIL and real estate agents having a really good first year.
Yeah.
You go from my biggest salary I ever made in my life was like $46,000 before my first year in real estate where I made over $200,000. And I'm like, there's no lessons on what I should do or principles on how I should spend that money or save that money or invest that money. What have you seen as you've gotten through this? We were talking a little bit about some of the principles that you would encourage some of these sponsors to include for these kids to help them rather than just writing them a check and saying, all right, cool, we're good. Congratulations, there's your money. What do you think as whether it's a new agent, a new business owner, a new athlete, what are some of the principles that you think they should be focused on when you do come into that big amount of money?
Well, I tried to sit with every kid, like to try to help. And I say kid, they're adults at that point. You know, you're 18, but I still consider myself a kid when I was 18. But the hardest thing to instill is that it's just like they have the same talks in the NFL. And that's, I actually kind of studied what the NFL teaches, like how they try to teach. And not that I'm not qualified to tell people how to manage their money. I'm not qualified for any of that. Yeah. But I am qualified to like say like, hey, you should go talk to some people smarter than me. And I think that's the toughest part, to just hand someone money, like you just said. Like, if, man, imagine yourself at 18 with, you know, 150 grand or 200 grand. I can't even imagine what that was like. I wasn't anywhere near that kind of money. And so to not have anyone telling you, hey, this might be the last check you ever get from sports, right? Mm-hmm. And understanding like, hey, you could get injured. The lifespan in the NFL is so, so short, but you have a moment now. And so what I tried to instill in the kids was the networking. Networking was the biggest thing to me. I'm like, you have this moment, because I watched it when we did that event. I watched all the donors and all their families, and every single one of them texted me like, that's the coolest thing I've ever been to. They just hung out for an hour with the basketball team. It wasn't like, we didn't do anything. There was fajitas and people just chilling. And they all were like, my grandkids were the most excited they have ever been. And I'm like, wait a second, these insanely successful people who are at the top of every empire in Austin, you know, are all freaking out about hanging out with these guys. And so I was like, whoa, why don't we start matching that up? And so I'd have conversations with each one of the kids. So it was all about networking while you can, because your value is so high right now. Everyone wants to hang out with you. Everyone wants to talk to you. But mind you, the second you take off that jersey,
it's not the same. Yeah.
We heard from the alums. We're like, dude, people won't pick up my call anymore, you know, and stuff like that. And you're like, dang, you've got this limited moment where you can, you know, not take advantage, but take advantage of the situation and say, hey, I want to network with these people. So networking was so key, but also understanding, like, I tried to instill like, hey, you know, 30% of this at least isn't going to be yours. And just know that, because if you spend that, you're going to be in some hot water. And trying to understand that that check might never come again is the other thing that like, you're 18, man, you're invincible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I tried to instill networking, understanding some type of money management. And any kid that we do an event and they get a grand or 5 grand or whatever they got, and if that kid texted me within 2 days and was like, hey, when's the next one? I would call them and be like, dude,
it's already
breathe,
gone.
Breathe. Okay. Like, cause you know, this could stop it. Cause we didn't know NIL might get outlawed. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, dude, these could stop at any second. So just try to see the long game. And I would say like 80% of the kids were super responsible. I'd say that to them. I was like, man, I just given them advice that my dad gave me, you know, of like, hey, look, you got that paycheck. Cool. Go blow $100 of it or $200 of it. And for them, I was just like, go spend part of it on yourself and enjoy it, but make sure you're at least saving some. And then I would talk to each of them about, hey, what do you want to do when you're done? And, you know, and I was like, I know you haven't thought that far ahead, but what interests you? Do you like accounting? Do you like real estate? Do you like law? What do you want? And most of them would give me a good list of like, yeah, I kind of want it. And I'd try to match them up with these donors. And I'd be like, hey, famous linebacker wants to have lunch with you. Would you be down? And they're like, heck yeah. You know, and so just trying to create those relationships for them. But man, it's tough. I'm not qualified to give them that kind of advice, but I would help them navigate to places where I'm like, you need to be around people you can trust.
The people you can trust that can help you on the next phase, because there is going to be a next phase of life.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily going to be professional sports, right?
Yeah.
And I think when this thing just dawned on me, maybe NIL is going to be better for money management, for professionalism, for learning the things that matter earlier. Because usually you don't get this until you get your first payday in the league. And then oftentimes it's just a little bit too late. It's too much money, or it's not a good chunk of change, but now you're a professional athlete and you may literally be in and out in 2 or 3 years and never touch that money again. At least if we're starting with 50, 75, 100,000 early, maybe we're learning different principles heading into the league.
I think that's totally fair. And maybe it is the lesson you need, where, you know, freshman year, you made 50 grand and you blew it all. And you're like, oh, crud, I need to be smarter about this sophomore year. And I agree with you. It does. And we've seen that, like, the way interviews and things like that work in like football are that they'll select certain people that week to talk to the media, right? So there's a lot of guys that you've heard maybe talk once in their whole career, the entire time they're at Texas, right? So they don't get that media training until like later. And Texas does a really good job with that. But what this has done is like, kids are out there doing podcasts. Kids are out there, you know, doing all this stuff. So that's why I think the synergy here is true, because what you're saying is they're forced to grow up a little more, forced to become professional sooner. And I think that's a good thing. And that same thing with like their media training. They're forced to grow up faster and be like, and they're forced to work with brands, right? And so when you have to sit there and say like, hey, dude, try not to post that on your Instagram because, by the way, Nike pays you. So maybe stop posting your Reeboks all day, you know, like stuff like that. Like it's just like, so I think it's a good lesson early, but I just wish there was a way to kind of have like a basic course. And most of the universities do, but even just to invite people in the room that you can trust. And that's what I try to do with all the guys, was people I knew, people like, you know, Gary's money manager, Mitch, like Mitch Johnson. Like I just bring people in like that, who I was like, Mitch never asked for a dollar from any of these guys, but offered to every single one of them like, hey, if you need help, I got you. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you need to find people like that. And it's not that people who make money off you are bad, right? But if that's their sole goal, it's going to get you in trouble. And you need to find people you can trust with your money. And sometimes they had great people around them, and sometimes they didn't. And so you'd have to try to help them navigate. Like I had one guy that was like, oh yeah, my agent's awesome. He only takes 50%. And I was like, what? Dude. I was like, no. So yeah.
Well, it's an interesting thing when you think about their maximum value or their prime in those college years. How can we utilize that to get the meetings that we need with the people that matter, that can teach us, the private equity fund people, the accountants at certain big organizations or things like that, and learn some of the skills that you may not necessarily have access to once that clock stops?
We had some great companies step up and be like, hey, we'll give them a, you know, why you should have an LLC 101 and why you should do these things. And like, and my big thing was just don't push them to sign with you, right? Like it's going to happen naturally if it's right. I just didn't want people coming in there selling stuff, because I had every lawyer, every accountant, every whatever was like, I got this, you know, every money manager. And you're like, yo, dude, just chill, just let them decide. And so I would always try to give them options. But I think it's another chance to grow up faster. And I think that's good, especially for the ones who end up professional. I do think the downside of it is, though, that like some of these athletes are making so much money that when sports stops, it's going to be really hard when you're like, wait, I've been getting I'm just making this up, $500,000 paycheck every year, and now I'm making $75,000 as a startup employee. It's going to create some like, why am I working this hard just to get this, you know? Which 100%. Is very interesting. I don't think a lot of people thought that through.
The NIL deals and money and stuff that is being made disproportionately affects Black athletes.
100%.
I think I saw some number where it was like the disparity between races. It's like 92% go to Black athletes or something insane like that. And you mentioned something a bit ago. You said, you know, it, like my dad taught me, you get this paycheck, 30% needs to go to taxes. And I think it's important for all of us to, I know you don't have any kids yet, but to really talk about money and the principles of money with our youth, because these are conversations we should be having at the dinner table.
Yeah.
These are conversations that we should be having with our 10-year-olds, our 8-year-olds, our 15-year-olds and whatnot, because we don't talk about it enough to even have it be on the radar to prepare us. Credit, income, taxes, investments, the compound effect on investments. Yeah. A little bit over a long period of time is immense. And because of that, we're in this situation where NIL is affecting the Black athletes, or enhancing the Black athletes, if you want to look at it that way, where my fear is that on the other end of it, we're going to have more turmoil because we're not learning the fundamentals and the proper habits to be able to save that money, to invest that money, to prepare ourselves, right?
The other side of that too, the interesting thing, that the part that no one talks about, and Gary actually brought it to my attention, because they brought all the captains of the team and it was like 20 some guys, you know, like, hey man, we opened it up to any of the basketball team, any of the volleyball team, any of that, like to just come in and listen to Gary talk, right? Because he's so good. And I was like, I told Gary, I was like, can you just do 30 minutes, you know, that's basically like an abbreviated Quantum Leap kind of thing of like,
yeah, he just did like 3 hours, huh?
And I was like, Gary, I know you're so busy, man. Can you do like 30 minutes? He's like, I can't, Nick. He's like, I can't teach what I need to in 30 minutes. He's like, I need 6 hours or 4 hours with these kids. And sure enough, Gary does 4 hours with these kids. And I was worried they were going to be falling asleep or bored. Man, it was so awesome. But Gary said something, because it was the part I never thought about, is a lot of the kids had come from nothing, right? And so this was the first money they got, and they were like saying all the right stuff and doing the right things. The one kid raised his hand, and he was a captain. He was like, I give every single dollar I make back to my family to support them. And I was like, oh, you know, that's incredible. And Gary goes, I love that, and I love your heart. Stop. And then the kid was like, what? And he was like, if you continue to give all your money to your family, he's like, you're going to be sitting by them in 2 years or five years. He's like, whereas if you can figure out how to invest that, how to create some wealth for yourself, he's like, you're going to be able to support and help forever. And I was like, damn, because like you don't think about that side, right? All anybody talks about is everybody's buying cars and chains and blah, blah. You know, like a lot of the kids are super responsible, but and a lot of them operate like that gentleman did. Like they want to give everything back to their families. And so it's like even that side of the money management is such an interesting topic, right? Of like, hey, I can only support you so much because I need to invest this. And so it's trying to figure out how you create those systems or courses. But the problem is nobody wants to sit through those courses either is the tough part. You have to try to meet people where they are and figure that out. And the sad part is that Texas, there's 600 athletes. You just don't have time to do it.
Yeah.
Or you can offer something and you'll get 30% of them show up. So it's fascinating, man. But I totally agree with you. It definitely disproportionately affects the Black community. And I think there needs to be a responsibility of like, getting the right people in the room and the right resources who have a good heart. And I know that sounds so like idealistic, but it's true because these kids are surrounded by people every single day that are trying to make a dollar off of them.
It's
trying to find somebody who like, hey, we can make money together. We can create win-wins, you know, like these can happen, but like, we're going to have to, you know, you got to get the right people in your corner. And so I just, man, so many kids I would find out didn't even have access to their Open Doors account, which was their account, which we pay and kind of you upload proof and verify. And so there's like a digital trail to make sure everything's done above the board. And like some of these kids wouldn't even have access to they'd text me and be like, hey, where's my money? And I'm like, oh, it's in your Open Doors account. They're like, I don't have that. And you're like, yeah, well, yeah, you do. Cause that's how we did the deal and you accepted it. They're like, oh, I didn't accept it. Like so-and-so just told me to show up here. And I was like, oh man.
Oh boy.
And so I'd make sure I'd call Open Doors and say, like, we need to add another, you know, cause you can CC. And I was like, they should at least be CC'd and I don't care. And I would walk all the kids through adding their name to their account because like you should know what's coming in your account, you know, and,
totally.
And there's a lot of people out there that are trying to take it. So it's just the whole thing was just such a mess. And, you know, and it was honestly like you see all these gray hairs, man. So much of it came from that because it was stressful, man. And we were trying to do it right. And my talks with the school and with everything is if you build this correctly and the kids are happy, everything else is going to take care of itself. Your recruiting is going to be better. Your players are going to be happier. Stop thinking about it of like, how can we win or how can we, you know, make sure that this, that, and this happens. And instead, make your employees, you know, make them happy and excited about what they're doing. And your school is just going to flourish. They're going to win. They're going to like help get, you know, because the kids listen to each other on the recruiting trail. Like they know.
Right.
They're like, yeah, that coach said this, but they never came through and they talk. So it's fascinating, man, but it's just not much ever happens. And from the player perspective, and I think that's the issue that we have. And that's how the whole NCAA was built.
We have a down payment assistance program that we have here in Colorado. And in order to get the funds, you have to go to this first time home buyer class. You've got to get a certificate and you got to have an exit interview. And it's almost like if you're going to accept NIL money, you should be required to take some sort of education around how we can better your future. It doesn't have to be a semester long. It can be 6 hours, 4 hours, whatever it is, just to teach you some of the fundamentals and basics and at least say that we're watching out for you. We're not just cutting the check.
Well, man, I found out that Texas actually has that course and it's a required course, but every school has the same problem of even that required course. Like you can't totally require it legally because they can't enforce the NIL rules. The school can't, right?
That's fair, yeah.
So the kids would only... Yeah. They get, I think it was like a 40% or something like that. I don't know the exact number. But what my thought was, this is where my, you know, Gary putting himself into my head was, I was like, wait a second. Our way of unlocking money was promoting charities and and some, obviously some businesses, but most of it was, hey, in order to get this money, you got to show up at these 5 charity events and post this, that, and this, and a donate link and blah, 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 you know? And my head went to, wait a second. Let's create and this at the time, everything was a for-profit. There weren't any nonprofits out there. And I was like, wait a second. What if we created a for-profit that was an education-based athlete, you know, nonprofit, where your money was unlocked by an 8-part course? You know, like each time you show up, you get $5,000 or you get $2,000 or whatever it is. I was sitting there with compliance about this and they were just like, oh man, I don't know. They were like, technically in theory, it would work. So then I started running the traps on nonprofit lawyers and stuff. And they were just like, yeah, it's education. So it's technically an education-based nonprofit, but they were like, stay as far away from nonprofits on that as you can, because you'll get approved, but it's going to come down the pipe pretty soon. And, and you don't want to be the one on the hook for that. And so I, you know, but I still think there's something to that, man. If you're going to pay a kid, go pay him to learn. You know what I mean? Pay him to learn.
That's what
and promote.
We're doing with scholarships, right? You're paying them to learn and to go produce.
Yeah. And, but instead, like, instead of, you know, going to anthropology, go to like why I need an LLC.
Dude,
you know?
Without
like,
a doubt. We can't add one elective, just a one credit unit course for it.
Dude, life 101. Can somebody like, you know, make sure you know how to, you know, how to do all these things? Yeah. Like, it's like why you should start an LLC, why you have to pull out taxes, like all these things, just the basic. And that's what I was actually working with Gary on the course, because I was like, screw it, we're just going to do it anyway. But we both got a little too busy. So,
yeah. It still is very much the Wild West. Yep. And there's some talk about Trump's going to do an executive order to get it under control. And Congress has this opinion and Supreme Court stated this. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because it's not going away. College sports is $1 billion a year. The NCAA is the largest, like, unregulated body in the country. And it's ridiculous. So it's going to be interesting to see how they treat this as amateur athletes. And is there going to be a union? Is there going to be some sort of players association of sorts, just to put some sort of boundaries and rules? Players associations and unions a lot of times do a lot of good work.
Yeah, they're a necessity. You 100%, man. You said it completely correctly. And I think, you know, July 1st is supposedly when a lot of the new kind of regulations, et cetera, will go into effect. But it's kind of a moving target. But what you said is like Trump put together this, you know, when we're recording this, he put together this committee, but they've only leaked out two names. And I was talking about this on ESPN radio of like, yeah, it's great. I think the committee is a great idea. But the two names that got leaked out, I'm like, you got Nick Saban, who I love, like he's a great coach, but he kind of got out of coaching because of NIL, right?
So he can't compete anymore.
we kind of know where he's at. Yeah. And then you add Cody Campbell, who's an amazing, I mean, this guy's the main booster for Tech. He played for Texas Tech. Like he's an insanely successful billionaire businessman, like awesome person. And he's great. But they're like, oh yeah, that'll be from the player perspective. I'm like, dude played in 2001 or 2002 and he's going to be the player. Like that was the thing that I heard out of that whole thing is not, I like to read it not for what they say, but for what they don't say. And the fact that we didn't have a current player or like, or a few players, I'm like, we can't just build the NCAA again, but throw a little more money to the kids this time. Like, I think the NCAA should get money, but I also think, you know, right now we're on this, it's like each school gets $20 million from their TV money. And that's part of this deal. And that's great. It'll move in house. But man, Texas, I think they grossed, I think $330 million, and I think they netted like 10 or 20 on sports. But if you're going to say that you're grossing $330 million and the kids get 20, I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
We're just doing the same thing again, but throwing some scraps out. And so, yeah, I think the universities give the platform. So I think they deserve to make a lot of the money. But like, let's be real too. Like when we buy jerseys that, you know, I'm not putting my name on the back of the jersey, you know, like I'm not trying to be that guy. So yeah, I don't know, man. It's fascinating.
It really is. Now tell us a little bit about the podcast. And that's a big thing that you started about a year ago, two years ago.
Yeah. I think a little over a year, but yeah, man, it was funny because that I obviously have a full-time job and I wasn't trying to run collectives and, you know, I was trying to make sure Gary didn't can me, which he should have a long time ago. You know, I needed to keep my real job and things just got, man, the NIL world was just, it was incredible. I've never been in a sector and probably never will be that was that new. And it was a like huge thing too. And so a lot of people cared, but it was this big moment. And so it was just super stressful and lots going on. It got super political. And so we just stepped out of it. We gave the keys to everyone else and said, you know, go do your thing. Cause I, you know, I have a job and a life that I had to get back to. But what we were talking about is what's the best way to help these guys. We sat down, Mark Higgins, who started with me, and I sat down and we're like, what's missing. Right. And so part of what what we realized is we spent almost every other day with these athletes, and we became not like, I mean, they're not friends, you know, I mean, but they are. Like, I care about these kids. Like, I became less of a fan because of this whole experience, because I would hear somebody yell at, you know, Ryan Watts for getting burned. And I'm like, hey, shut up. You know, like, I'm sitting there like, he's a great kid, blah, 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 you know, like, and I'm like, wait, what's wrong with me? I'm like sitting here fighting Texas fans. I'm like, what's wrong with me? But we were like, if people took the time to get to know these kids, their NIL value would go up so much higher. And the school can only give them so much of a platform because you only have so much time to do interviews, right? Like, you have one media day. Mm-hmm. And so nobody gets that chance that we had to get to know these kids. And so I was over at the Collective in Austin, which is this awesome workout facility. And one of the former players at Texas, Jeremy Hills, started. And Jeremy Hills was talking football when I walked in. He and I were meeting, and he was talking football with a couple of his other buddies who were working out there that played at Texas. And I was like, dude, I know everyone says this, but you guys need a podcast. and they were like laughing, and they were like, well, they're like, yeah, sure. Okay, cool. And I'm like, yes, we need to can this, like what you guys are doing, like, cause that doesn't exist, right? It's a, you know, there's a lot of recruiting.
It's very authentic, your podcast.
Well, I appreciate that, man. And there's a lot of great shows out there, but it's not the former players, right?
Yeah,
and like,
correct.
And having that perspective and like getting to know those guys and hearing their thoughts, like, it's incredible. And I was like, the world needs to hear that. And so I said to Hills, I was like, dude, I helped Lance set up his whole podcast. I'll help you guys get all set up. And he goes, oh yeah, we'll do it. He's like, but you're going to run it. I was like, I just said that, dude. And he's like, no. You're going to run it on camera. And I was like, no, dude, I am not my whole life has been a behind the camera, behind the scenes, like, you know, like make it all work and get out of the way. And they were just like, well, we won't do it unless you do it. So I was like, all right, sure. So I became the, you know, the Ernie Johnson of the damn thing, you know, but man, it's been so cool. We sneakily filmed it up in Gary's suite without him knowing, and you know, and just put out a couple episodes, and we're like, dang, this is getting 500 or 1,000 views. That's cool, man. And you know, and then one day Gary's assistant was like, why are you guys shooting up in the suite? You know, she knew about it. I was like, how'd you know about that? You know, and she was like, why don't you just shoot in the studio? And I was like, we can shoot in the studio. I've never even been in the studio either, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah. If it's open, you know, just talk to the video people and do it. So our podcast goes from looking like, you know, we're filmed in somebody's office to being actually filmed in a studio and, you know, super pro. And the man, we just couldn't believe it. The views just kept climbing. And there were videos that during the season were getting like, you know, 28,000 views or something crazy. And we're just like, it's insanity. But it's been great because what we wanted to do was during the season to build the views, we'll do like preview shows and post game shows to kind of talk about it and build up the audience. But in the off season, we used that to interview the players. And mm-hmm. and then it turned into like the platform was just for football. But then I had like the volleyball coach, Jared Elliott, being like, yo, I'm coming on the podcast. I was like, well, dude, it's kind of about football. He's like, I'll make it work. Just let me on. And so I was like, okay. And dude, so he comes on, and then all these other coaches are like, I want to be on. And so then we had like coaches from the school like calling us, and they were like, hey, can one of our rowing athletes, not players, like come on the show? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So we kind of like defaulted into this, like, you know, kind of behind the scenes podcast for Texas and the athletes. And it's just been awesome, man. And we've gotten to know just so many awesome people. And yeah, it's kind of been a little labor of love, but we just enjoy it, man. And I think it's so healthy for all of us to go yap about football, because, you know, we all do it anyway. And this way we get to fight on camera.
It's cool being able to get to know the athletes without their helmets, specifically football, without their helmets on. A lot of people, you don't even know what they look like, because basketball player and football players are very different. But when you're interviewing these guys in the offseason and you're getting to know them and their charisma and their backstory a little bit and some of those other things, like, it humanizes the athlete, which I think is so, so, so important in today's world.
That's what makes you want to sponsor someone, right? Like, when you a person talking and you see who they are, you're like, I want that person representing my brand. Whereas, like, if you never got to see that, you just know, like, we had a kid on, DeAndre Moore, who's like one of the greatest human beings I've ever met in any job I've been at. Like, he and his family are like, I'm obsessed with them. And he took his NIL money and bought a food truck and employs his family and friends. And like, and they've created this awesome business. And like, I'm like, people need to know that story. And it was funny because they were doing okay, but they were, the location they were at, they were having to move. And I was like, D, come on the podcast and, you know, we'll interview you and then we'll see if we can, you know, we didn't know. We were just like, let's see if we can get you a spot. We'll talk about it. He had like five people reach out to be like, hey, I have a lot, or hey, I have a business. You can come park your truck and stuff like that. And so it's just like stuff like that. Or we've had you know, people reach out and say, hey, how do I get a hold of so-and-so? I want to do something for my yogurt shop or something like that. And so that was kind of the goal, is like, how do we create something that gives the kids the platform?
True community, dude.
Yeah,
it's a true community, yeah.
And like a bunch of the kids will be like, hey, you know, that graduate or something will be like, hey, can I come on the post game and like talk about the game? I'm like, dude, come on. We just have an open invite, man. It's like, you know, obviously we only have so much space, but it's created like this circle for all the former players that's given them new life at the university, as well as just like, not that they need a purpose. Like a lot of these guys were, you know, already have tons going on, but we have Derek Johnson on the podcast, who's like, you know, top five all-time UT players, or top 10. I'll probably get yelled at for saying top five, but he's an all-time leader for the Chiefs and tackles. Like, the guy's an absolute, just unbelievable player. He came up to us and was like, hey, I just did this signing at the stadium for like T-Mobile or something. And he's like, nobody talked to me about football. All they kept talking about was Third and Longhorn, and they wanted a shirt or something like that. And we were just like, oh, that's so sick, dude.
That is
so
sick.
It's cool. Yeah, man, it's been fun. So
good stuff, man. Now, as we wrap up, you've been around a lot of very successful business owners, entrepreneurs, athletes, famous people, comedians, musicians, all the things. If you want to leave our listeners with just one thing, what is one thing, one takeaway from, whether it be wealth building, philanthropy, mindset, like, what is one thing you want to leave everybody with from all that knowledge?
It's from Gary, and it's twofold. It's, no one succeeds alone, right? You're so much more powerful with someone else, but also like, understanding that if you invest in people, that's going to come back to you so much more. Not necessarily financially, but also like, it can, you know, and it's like, those are where the relationships come from. If you invest in people and, you know, give the time and actually help people, like, that changes lives. And it might not necessarily come back to you, but most of the time it does. And I think that's the key, is investing in people. And the other thing Gary says that I love is, he's always like, money's only good for the good it can do for others. And he lives that.
Yeah.
If you have those values and do things that way, the right things are going to come to you, right? It may not pay off that first day or that first year, but good things are going to happen. And if it's authentic, people are going to realize that, I think.
I love it. Well, thank you for coming on, man. It was a great conversation and I really enjoyed it.
Man, I'm honored to be on. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, man.
Yeah, my pleasure. Until next time, friends, we'll see you soon.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.